So first things first, the season of Advent is not Lent. Surprise? The season of Advent is not Lent. That's why for several years now I've been trying to make a distinction of that by having two different shades of purple. Whether people believe the other one is purple or not, that's beside the point. This one is more blue. The other is more of a burgundy color, like the cushions on the church, more red. We must make the distinction between these two seasons because they are different in their essence. They are different in their root. The season of Lent, we are traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem to his death, and we are going to die with him so that as he rises from the dead, we too will rise with him. Is a whole different feel, a whole different sense of the season. There is prayer and fasting and almsgiving, preparation of our hearts to die with him, to set our face like flint to the destination of the cross. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to pick up your cross and follow after me. That's the season of Lent. Advent is not a penitential season. It is a season of preparation. If you have to do penance to prepare, then that's fine. If you have to give up things or sacrifice things to prepare, that's fine. But it is not a penitential season. It is a season of preparation. A season in which we are preparing ourselves to celebrate the first coming of Jesus so that we are prepared for his second coming. It is a season in which we are invited to joy. All right, if you think of the season of Advent, all right, first thing that comes to your mind, the song that represents Advent more than any other song that you hear, what is it? O come, Emmanuel. What does it say in the chorus? Rejoice, O Israel, for Emmanuel is coming to you. An invitation for joy, so much more so than a season of Lent. You can be happy about Lent because you love all the cool stuff of Lent. That's fine. But this season of Advent is a season of joy, full anticipation. If you are wondering if that's true or not, ask any of my students in the school if they're happy that Christmas is coming. And there's just this energy and joy that surrounds them that Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. So, the greatest analogy that I can use for you to understand what we should be about in this season comes from the natural. During this season, often we'll have guests come to our homes, will we not? There's all of these Christmas parties that happen during Advent. It should be called Advent parties. You have plenty of time. There's a whole season of Christmas to have Christmas parties. Take advantage of the time to have Christmas parties. Okay? But this whole understanding, this whole invitation, the preparing of our homes. I cannot host people in my house right now. I got too much of my junk laying around everywhere. In my living room, I've got projects I've been working on. I've got stacks. I don't know what's wrong with me, but in order for me not to forget things, I have to see them, and I have to have stacks of things. I've got an organ that's kind of torn apart in my living room that I've been working on and to put it back together, and I have to see it, because if I cover it up, if I put it away, then I will forget all about it. So my house is not prepared to welcome guests, and yet there's an Advent party that's coming to my house. So I have work to do. So what do I need to clean? What's the bare minimum? Well, the living room for sure, right? The dining room, maybe. The kitchen for sure, okay? Oh, and the bathroom, downstairs bathroom. All right, that's the minimal, right? Whew, I think I could do that. Well, what if the downstairs bathroom is full and I have to use the upstairs bathroom? Whoa, wait a minute. Going upstairs, You know, oh, what if guests come and they need to spend the night because it snows and they're snowed in? Well, then I guess I better have my guest rooms ready. I got this sleeping bags that I found at a thrift store that I washed and laid out, and they're all dried, and I've got them rolled, and they're just laying out there on the guest beds. You need to roll them up, put them in the bags, prepare the guest rooms just in case. Well, that only leaves one space left. My bedroom. No one's going there. No need to fix that up. No need to clean that up. But I said this is an analogy, right? It's an analogy of our preparations for the welcoming of Jesus. Is there a place in the home of your heart in which Jesus won't be welcomed? You know, my experience of going and visiting families in their homes, if they have children of a certain age, like the first thing that they say to me, like I get in the house and they're like, they go crazy. I don't know. It's like I'm a walking coffee pot for children or something. The kids are like, ah, and like bouncing around. And they're like, Father, 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 come see my bedroom. Come see my bedroom. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, come on, let's go see your child's bedroom, you know? But the kids are so excited to show their bedrooms. Why is that? Because it's theirs, right? This is my bed where I go to sleep. These are my toys. These are my books. These are my clothes, Father. Look, whew, you know, they are so excited to show me everything. Isn't that the heart of a child? Isn't that the disposition we are supposed to have? And so in the preparation of your home to welcome physical guests that will come into your home, the season of Advent is this preparation of your home, the home of your heart, to welcome Jesus into the very depths, into the very center, into the very core of who you are, to be able to welcome Him. So I haven't even got to the homily yet. So now you know what the season of Advent is, right? General understanding. I haven't even talked about the readings, have I? No. I will. Don't worry. So the first reading today, pretty... Prophet Isaiah, his words are pretty harsh, pretty difficult. He's talking about a situation, people needing redemption. And the line that stands out to me as I bring the gospel in line to it is like, would that our actions would correspond to the truth of who we are. Would that our actions, when you come, you would find us doing what we are invited to do and to be. Wouldn't that be amazing, God, if when you came, we were actually doing what we were supposed to do, and we were able to welcome you in that. We look at the gospel text, and Jesus says, watch. Watch and be ready. You do not know the hour when the Lord is coming back. Watch and be ready. Notice that the four options that He gives, the four choices, all happen during the night. Biblical understanding. Evening happens when the sun sets. So darkness begins. The options, the season that the church is in, is a season of night right now. The sun has set. Jesus has gone back to His Father. We are awaiting His return in glory. We are in the season of night. We are to be lights shining in the darkness in the night. Will He come when the sun first sets? Will He come at midnight? Will He come, if you've ever had neighbors that have chickens? They don't start making noise when the sun comes up, when everyone wants to get up. They start making it like an hour or so before. Like they have to wake up the sun or something in order to have the sun come up. And so cocks crow before the sun comes up, or at the moment of sunrise. Will He come at that moment? All of this is happening in the night. This is the time that the church is in. We are in the night. We are waiting for the dawn to come upon us. We are inviting Jesus to come in His glory. And we're happy about it. And we're joyful about it. He is coming. Are we prepared to welcome Him? In looking at the readings, I was curious about the words, like, to watch, and what it says. And so I pulled up my app, and I pulled up the Greek, and I'm looking at it. And the words literally mean to be watchful, to be awake, literally means to be standing up. So all of you that have a special gift of power of being able to fall asleep while you're standing, this doesn't correspond to you, right? But everyone else, we stand up, you're awake. For the most part, right? To be standing up, literally, to be awake. Because what do you do naturally during the night? I tell you what, we need to stop doing this time change thing. I don't care. I don't care if we move it ahead and leave it ahead, or if we just leave it as it is now forever. We need to stop doing this time change thing. We went from where it was sunny after daily mass, it was like, you know, close to 6 o'clock, I'm locking the door, the sun's still coming up, and all of a sudden, boom, daily mass is over, and I'm going out of the church, and it's like dark. You know, and I'm like, I just want to cook some food, eat, and go to sleep right now. And then you're like, I think I should go to bed, and it's like 7 o'clock. And you're like, what is going on? What we naturally do when the sun sets in the darkness, naturally, we become drowsy, we become sleepy. It is of the nature and the natural order of things to lay down, to fall asleep. And that's the other interesting word that's there in the gospel today. The word for sleeping, literally in Greek, means to be laid down. So we have a lot of literal understandings of being awake or laying down. Jesus says, now's the time not to be laying down, not to be sleeping. The Lord comes and finds you laying down and sleeping. So, stay awake for the rest of your life, right? No. How are we to understand this? I think we can understand it in this way, my brothers and sisters. If we are to understand identity, how we draw our identity from this. That first reading, you know, the situation of needing redemption, that is not our situation, is it? This is Old Testament. This is awaiting a Redeemer, waiting the Lord to come. The Lord has come. That first reading is not our situation. Our sins have been forgiven. They've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. We are not sitting there waiting for our sins to be forgiven, to be in redemption. We are a people who have been redeemed. I mentioned Lent earlier. We have walked with Jesus Christ to His cross, to His death, and into His resurrection. We are alive. We are upright. Our identity is of those who live. We are people who have entered into redemption, so we are alive. We are not people who are dead. So alive, standing up, dead, laying down. There's a very bad joke amongst priests to say, be careful, get your people all stirred up, you know, and you know, breathe life into your parish. They're much more hard to manage. They're much easier to manage when they're all dead. I'm like, oh, yeah. You're right. But we are not dead people, my brothers and sisters. That is not your identity in Jesus Christ. You are alive. And so, what kind of actions should we be about? What kind of work? Because he says, this each of the servants, he's entrusted his house to the servants. The servants must be about the work that has been entrusted to them. But it is a work that is living. Right? These are not works to justify ourselves, to make us lovable. These are works that come from being loved. These are works that flow from being alive in Jesus Christ. This is the work that we are supposed to be about. It is a living work that reflects that we are alive. We are not dead, my brothers and sisters. We are alive. And so the invitation to see, to be watchful, to be awake, to be standing up, to be about the work, to identify in the truth that you are alive in Jesus Christ. When He comes in all of His glory, may He not find a church that sees herself unredeemed, that sees herself dead. But may Jesus come in all of His glory and see a church who is alive in Him, prepared to welcome him with great joy. Amen.